Love Osho podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Love Osho podcast. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Swami Anand Vasant. Vasant met Osho in 1977 and immersed himself in the commune's life as part of Osho's personal security team, as well as leading groups and giving sessions. He was with Osho in all the three communes until Osho left his body. 1 year after that, Vasant had a deep awakening and realized his own true self beyond name and form. After living for years in the Himalayas, Vasant started sharing his presence and wisdom, encouraging many hearts to awaken into a life of freedom. Vasant is now spreading the fragrance of love, meditation and celebration in his satsangs and retreats, which take place at his beautiful centers, Dharma Mountain in Norway and Mevlana Garden in Brazil. Hello Vasant, welcome to the Love Osho podcast. How are you?
I'm very fine, thank you.
Wonderful. Look, I'm super excited to chat with you today. I've known about you and your wonderful place in Norway for many years, and now I'm here talking to you, so that's really cool. You have many incredible stories to tell about your life with Osho and beyond. Shortly after Osho left his body, you say to have experienced awakening of your true self or self-realization. And through the years since then, you have created two beautiful retreat places, one in Norway and more recently one in Brazil. So that's quite extraordinary. And I can't wait to jump into this fascinating journey. But let's start from the beginning. I'd love to know how you came to know about Osho.
So then we have to go back in time. I always had, I guess I always been a rebellious spirit. And I remember when I was little, I wanted to grow up fast. I couldn't wait till I was big enough so I could go into the world, no, to be by myself. And this led to, I left school when I was only 15 years old. And I started traveling around Europe and different hippie communities, ended up in Morocco for two times, and then I felt like the whole Europe was finished, and India came up. I already knew about the Buddha, yoga, all this. So I went to India, and when I landed in Delhi, the first day I was walking around in the old market, and I came by these stands they have in India with all the goddesses and gods in the street. And I saw a picture of Hanuman, you must have seen, where he opened his chest. And inside is the god, his master, Ram and Sita. And it was so powerful, I collapsed on the street. And I realized this is I know this feeling of just, like this. And then by chance, I just wanted to go to Himalayas. I didn't know about Osho. So I ended up in Manali, which I later come to know that that's where Osho started the sannyas movement. Then I went to the beach in Goa when the snow came. And walking down the first morning coming to the beach, it was a little Osho center. It wasn't really a center, it was a house, and they were doing dynamic meditation. And I was very much like a jungle boy living in nature. And I was like, what is these people? They are disturbing the morning peace with all their screaming. Anyway, I settled in. We were just living in nature in the jungle on the beach at that time, totally nature people. And but I had I got robbed one night sleeping outside. It was a junkie, French junkie, who hit me in the head with an iron pipe, and I could have died, no? And then these sannyasin took care of me, because some of them we had a connection. And in that space where I was on the edge of going, I read my first Osho book. And then I guess I was saved. But and the first time I did dynamic meditation, which was also there, this was in maybe 76, I had such a nice experience of being totally empty and laying and hearing the birds afterwards. So it really worked like he wanted it to work for us the first time. But after my accident there, or that hit in the head, I was very weak, so I had to go back to Norway to recuperate. I had a girlfriend in Norway who had a shop, but I said I had to go back to Pune to meet this man. And I already started writing to the ashram, and I got the connection with Lakshmi, who was then his secretary. And by the time I came to the ashram, by chance, I had a ticket, cheap ticket to Sri Lanka. So I went to Sri Lanka, and then I was traveling almost by train, hitchhiking, bus, through whole South India to come to Pune. And when I came to Pune, I came to the main gate with just a longi, like a little skirt around me, barefoot, with the staff. And they asked me at the gate, the guard, "Where are you going?" And I said, "I want to see Bhagwan." I had no idea how it was there. So I talked with Lakshmi, and we had already a connection. So it was a very beautiful meeting. And we were always friends since then. Even in Pune too, I went to always to see her in Bombay. The most beautiful human being. Then we had to, everybody who came, they had to do a few groups before they took sannyas and get in tune with the ashram. And one of them, the last was intensive enlightenment, with you ask the koan, "Who am I?" And in that, I had a satori that they took me out of the group, and I could just sit there watching the participants with them. And it was very powerful, but I had no idea. I was very innocent, very young. And very shortly thereafter, my sannyas was, so I got to see Osho. And I was very much in that space, totally empty. And so the meeting was very, very deep. And he told me that no need to travel anymore, just stay here. And when he touched my third eye, it was like a tremendous, you can imagine the dry leaves in the big forest in the fall. And all the leaves was swept away. All the rubbish was swept away. And I was like, it was like a hurricane inside. And after that hurricane, total silence. And I just felt so grateful and so much at home. I felt so much taken care of already. So that's how I met him first. Should we go on then?
Okay, beautiful. Thank you so much. So since we are here, you mentioned that Osho told you a few things. And of course, from that moment, you spent many years with Osho. You worked as a bodyguard. So you had the opportunity to spend time in close physical proximity to Osho. So I'd love to know two things on this. One, how was for you the experience of being close to Osho in his presence? And two, if you had any personal meetings with him, and what kind of personal guidance he gave you specifically?
Well, I don't think Osho gave much personal guidance, because he wanted, like any master would do, that he ignites that intelligence in you by meditation, by trust, by love, that direction comes from the inside. But I can tell you that when I came, well, I had a lot happened very quickly. And I had visions with him. The first ones I had was like, I just wanted to come close to him. And I saw him sitting inside, like a glass window inside the room, up a few steps. But he was in such a magnificent silent space that also you don't want to disturb him. This was my feeling. But the pool was so magnetic that I started crawling up on all my fours to come closer. And then he opened his eyes and just looked and smiled. And that smile was come closer. So that in that dream or that vision, it was very, very powerful. And I felt like I could come closer. And shortly after that, we started the sunrise, the guards in his house. And when I first time I came in to his garden and I was walking down that road to the garden, to the carports where he and his room, it was so, the presence was so powerful. Like for me, it was, how can I function here? Because I felt like every leaf, every tree was dripping of nectar, of bliss. It was thick. Like, yeah, I don't, it's like words is much too short. You cannot explain it, but it's like this Avatar movie when everything is just golden around, no? It's like this. So that was a process in itself to function for me, because I had this awareness from the martial arts and like this, but I got so intoxicated of his presence and his love that it was very difficult to function in the beginning. So I learned to be in that space of bliss, you can say, and still be alert. So it was a meeting of opposites. And more this harmonized in me. And I wanted to be in the night because then I could just meditate. It was so beautiful to meditate. And I felt that's why I was there. So I wasn't much interested in what was happening in the ashram. I was sleeping in the day and it was like being with him in the Himalayas, you know, far away. I was just in the garden and sleeping in the day. And then we had darshan in the night and also energy darshan that he was having, which I also had a vision or a dream before it happened, before he started energy darshan, that he gave me this. And then I recognized it in that moment when he gave it to me. So it was a very potent time, like the development, I feel, of coming back in your center. And for me to sit in the garden or outside his room or seeing him, it was just pure delight.
Wow, beautiful. It's very interesting to hear that basically for you was more esoteric or energetic type of transmission rather than, personal guidance in terms of do this, do that. And I'm fascinated to hear what you were trying to say about combining this bliss experience that you have in the presence of Osho, but also being able to function in the world.
Yes.
And learning this, obviously, that's kind of a magnified experience, but it's a bit, in my understanding, sometimes happens with Osho meditations that you can go so deep. And Osho is always saying that you need to be aware and relaxed. So you're able to kind of function in a flow, relaxed, aware, but do things in the world without getting caught into the mind, into anxiety. And I find this striking, this balance is a big challenge that Osho is giving me. I'm talking for me now. And the way you are describing, it's almost like multiplied by 1,000, this experience. How did you go about it? You know, what was for you the key that helped you understand how to navigate that space?
Well, for me, it is all the grace of the master, because it is beyond anything one could do. I think it's by the grace of being close to him and being so fortunate. And I didn't know. I didn't know even what was happening. When I look back now, I wasn't polluted. I was very innocent. I was very young. I had already left. I was very rebellious in the as a teenager, when I left, I didn't know anybody who did these things that I had done and left my country so young and all these. So I don't know, but it was just I guess when the master plants a seed in you, and I was so lucky, I was so close, and I was so ripe to take care of that seed, and I was in his environment, and I just wanted to meditate, and I just wanted to be like I said, I already had this awareness from the martial arts, karate, kung fu, and this, which is, I was never into the violence or the fighting, but what clicked when I was very young was that it was in the very awareness in the moment when you were sparring, especially with the opponent, no, and in tournaments and like this. That was what liked. I was put into the moment. And when I came to Osho, that could happen just in meditation, just by being present. By being with him and having it, for me, it was like, like I had, which I told him, it was like coming in when you've been outside in the storm for lifetimes in the snowstorm, and you came in a cozy home, and it was fire there, and everything was beautiful, and you can just relax. That that was my feeling, you know. So also, I became very aware when I look back now of how I moved, because I wanted to be as conscious as I could around him, and not only on the physical movements, but how my state of mind was, how my emotional body was, because it was so pure. It's a little difficult to talk about it because many times it happens when I talk about my master, no? Because it's hard to get that into words. It's so beyond, it's so deep. I just become that, no? And then it's difficult to talk. But I will do my best.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And I can imagine how it's hard to put into words the inner bliss and experience, because as you talk, you connect to that energy. I can see that as if you are transported into the present moment of what you were experiencing there and now.
Well, it is always there. But I was saying that I became very aware that I didn't want to pollute his energy field as such. So in that way, he helped me a lot by his presence to feel him. I wanted also not to disturb, not only by movements and doing things unconscious, but that I didn't have any luggage, any mind stuff, any emotional things from relationship or anything from the outside. I always want to be clean in his presence. So looking back now, this helped me to balance this inner and outer. And also in the energy darshans, when Osho gave energy, or Bhagwan, then we had to lift up. Sometimes people were totally gone, and we had to take them away so next person can come. And to function like that around him in that space was a tremendous training, because you had to be totally alert what you were doing. And also, I was totally intoxicated inside. Everything was energy. So it was this meeting of the opposites all the time, I felt. So I couldn't be more grateful for that time.
Wonderful. So you were also in Pune when Osho left the body, and it is said that the moment an enlightened master leaves the body is the culmination of his work, and it can be a very powerful teaching for his disciples. How was your experience when you were there and Osho left the body?
Well, in between these things, which we talked about, which was in the very beginning in Pune 1, and then this whole episode of going to the ranch, and he was very distant from us. But I had the opportunity to bring his brother and his family to the ranch, which was quite an experience also. And then I went to see him on the ranch when I came there. This was very in the very beginning. And by chance, I was living in his room at that time when he left. And that was also a deepening experience of this, because I was with an Indian lady, Sanyasin, who was taking care of selling most of the things in the ashram after he went to America. And we got told that we could stay in his room, which never anybody had stayed for 7 years. Osho had stayed there for 7 years. So when I came in there, it was like a bliss cave for me. After being his guard and being in the garden, and then I could live there, it was unexplainable. I couldn't understand, like, how can this rascal kid end up there? And it wasn't much to do at those days, so I just took it on me to water his garden, watering the garden where I had been so much, and taking dip in the little pond he had outside his room and meditating in his room. So this was also very, very unique experience, which I haven't talked much about. But since you are doing this, I think maybe it will be helpful for the future or something. I don't know. And then when we were living there in his room, it came this message to take his family to Oregon. And then when I went to see Osho, he asked many things about his Indian friends in Pune. And I used to go for walk every evening with one of my buddies, which was Swami Maitreya in that those days. He was an old sannyas, an old friend of Osho. And he showed me all around Pune. We used to walk for hours in the evening. It was very, very intimate with all the Indians. I always had a very strong connection with the Indians in the ashram, and maybe even deeper than the Westerners, because they have something, and especially after this transformation I went through later on, it was the Indians who more recognized that, you could say. But then Osho told me that I could stay in the Rajneeshpuram then, when I came there, and everything was very high speed. It was winter, working a lot. He was in silence. And then I looked at him and I said, I really would like to go back to your room. And he just started laughing, because like he could totally understand that. He's such a lazy man. And for me, it was such a total bliss to be there. So he told me that is fine. And then he told me to go to some centers on the way in Europe to show videos of Rajneeshpuram and like this. And then I went back again to Pune for another 3-4 months till the summer. And then I went back to Rajneeshpuram. And he gave me a beautiful hat also that saved me for for the evil forces in Rajneeshpuram that was happening, you know, these power-hungry women and all that, Sheelas and that tribe. And I felt that had protected me, you know. I needed protection, because they wanted to get rid of people like me, these rebels, you know. But in one way, I always felt protected by Osho. And he did save me there, because at one point, I had to go out to marry, to get my legal papers. And I stayed in the castle in New Jersey where he landed in America. We still had that castle. And then when I came back to Oregon, I had, it wasn't so good with one of these hand-picked women around Sheila. And she told me that this Vasanti is very unruly. And they said after the festival that I had to leave. And I was sitting on the bus I didn't understand how that was my whole life, how this could happen. And in the last moment, I heard over the speaker that Vasant was supposed to come to Jesus Grove. So I left the bus in the last moment before he left. And then Sheila told me that, no, I shouldn't leave. I could stay. And that took 10 years before I heard by somebody who was in Osho's house at that time that he had heard about it. And he stopped that. And that, it totally broke me. And that was after he had left his body, I got to know about that. So I always felt taken care of in some way, without, of course, expecting it or being somebody for that. But this is how mysterious the master was. It's no words, you know, it's unbelievable for me. But it happened. So then, when we came back to India again after the world tour, and as soon as I heard he was in Mumbai now, I went there because I knew also that man where he was staying, Suraj Prakash, the Indian. I have such a deep love and connection with the Indians. Like, it was so sweet to see the interview with Priya, you know. Just too bad Neelam had left her body also, because he's such a flower of a human. Anyway, then I heard that we were going to Pune after a few days, back again, which nobody expected. And quickly they told me to go there, start preparing, because Osho is coming back. And we just had a few days. And I was there on the carports where I had been 5-6 years before when he left. And he was coming, and we were just 4-5 people there. And he was sleeping in the back seat with the head on Vivek's lap, and his hat had fallen off. And then she wakes him up and says, we're home now. And then he arranges his hat and come out and do the most beautiful namaste to everybody there. And I get him into his room and close the door. And then I realize, my God, the master is back. And there's no guards, no nothing, you know. Everything was like decently like that. And then I started the whole samurais again, or the guards. But at that time, I took much more Indians in. All the Indians who had been kept outside before. And it was very, very beautiful and very, very special at that time. Not so many power trips. And then we come back to when he left his body. As soon as I heard, I went to his house because I had access to more calm then. And they were just taking his body out of the house on a stretcher. And they didn't carry him up, they carried him low between them, no? And then I was walking next to him towards Buddha Hall, and looking at him, he looked just so beautiful, no? And I was overwhelmed by this master, this love, incarnated love. He showed me how to live so beautifully. And now he shows me how to die beautifully. It was unspeakable. It was too much. So it was a deep crying, but just a crying of love, of gratitude. And that's how it was the whole night, sitting next to him when we burnt the body. It was just a deep gratitude. And I felt, in a way, he was evaporated into everything there for me. So in a way, I got elevated. I didn't feel, of course, your mind is in shock, but your spirit can take a leap, I felt. I was very elevated by that. At the same time, everybody was at a loss. But for me, I felt like the whole ashram was enlightened for 2-3 days, and then people started going back to the normal. And I see now, I was ready for that. You know, my connection was already established in the heart, in the soul. So he became even closer, I felt. And he said that himself, that it's a tremendous opportunity for the disciple who is receptive and surrendered. Of course, not for everybody, if you are closed or not in tune with yourself or the master, but it can be such a blessing to be around the Buddha when he leaves his body, you know, because all that is limited in the physical form, that just explodes into the existence and of course into the devotees.
Look, Vasant, I found it very challenging to speak myself and carry on with the interview. I need to put my thoughts together, because all I want now is really to just close my eyes and be in silence. But it's a podcast, and and my job is to ask the questions. So,
but this is his teaching, and you are asking in your podcast, what did you get from Osho? So this is, I am his living experience.
Yes. I mean, that's exactly the little experience I mentioned before. This is the challenge I find now. It's happening now. I need to function, but the space inside, it's overwhelming. And I guess it's a good training.
Yes, it is. It is. That's that is his training also, to be there and to be here, both, you know. Many times when I talk, it's very difficult, because I don't have anything really to talk about. I would be happy just to be quiet. I'm a very relaxed, lazy man. But things are happening, you know. I don't do anything anymore, but things are happening. It's like that. And it's... Yes.
And in fact, I mean, many things are happening, because after Osho left the body, at some point after a number of years, you started a place in Norway, which I understand attracted a lot of people. I've seen some videos. I know that many people come, and it seems like a wonderful place. And more recently, you also inspired a new place in Brazil. So in this time of crisis, where normally things are shrinking and shutting down and, not many things are happening, it seems like, you know, your work is growing and is expanding despite you not doing anything. So I'd love to know maybe a little bit more practical things as well about this place, because unfortunately I haven't had a chance to visit yet. I'd love to know how it works, what happens. And if you, just tell us, give us a bit of an overview of your beautiful places.
Yes, well, I've always been a lover of nature. Yeah. And after I had my awakening or realization, I went back again to Himalayas, because that was my pool. And it's something else that I would like to say, because before we're talking about these places, because it's part of this sannyas story. That when I was in Pune a year after Osho left the body, I was very involved with the ashram in all kinds of groups. And at the moment, me and Rafia was doing a group called Tantra Budu. Then I got very sick. And in that sickness, I had already gone deeper and deeper after Osho left the body. What is it? Who am I now? What is the next? And in that sickness, where the physical body almost collapsed, I felt like Osho was changing all the wires inside, almost like I was in the operation table. And when I came down, I was totally new. Everything was gone. I had no connection with the personality I had been, you could say. And I had to learn to function again, because it's very overwhelming. You really are born again as a new man, but inside everything is new. And of course, you don't know that this this is anything to do with the self-realization, anything like that, because I had many, many satoris on the path with Osho. But it hasn't left me for 30 years, so I guess it's something there. So, but then I was very involved still in the ashram, no? And I had groups and trainings in my name and like this. And I had to go back to the ashram and talk about this, that I cannot do anything. I'm not the one I was 2 weeks ago. And nobody understood, because everybody comes from the ego mind, for the personality. And that is something I saw with the sannyasins, that what is the master want? What does Osho want? He wants you to wake up. But then if some of the sannyasin of his own disciples, flowers, they became outcast in the commune. And that's what happened with me. That was happening with other people who woke up. And it's very strange, because the ashram became more and more. It took time, of course, because many beautiful people were there. But at that time, it was more the Indians, sannyasins, you know, that I had that deep Osho connection with, I would say, that Osho heart, like Darshama, like Neelam, like many people who I had like this. Most of the Westerners was too busy doing that thing and being somebody. So that was shocking in that space. And you felt very fragile. So I was very much pulled back to the Himalayas then, just to be in that space. And I, in another way, I was very happy, because I left with my master. He was the only one who understood me, and he took care of me. And he always wanted to go to the Himalayas to stay. And I felt, no, at last, we can just go to the Himalayas. And it took many years, maybe 5-6 years before I started talking or teaching or talking about this experience, because it had to integrate. I had to function again. I had to learn language again, you could say. And it's almost impossible to talk about it, but you feel it. And that's the aliveness. That's why Osho always say you need an alive master, because that's how I got it. I imbibed it for him. I felt it from him. And he woke that up slowly, slowly. So now, coming back to the places, then for many years I was invited and traveling around the world, but I felt like, no, I want to stop and have more people who are interested. So I found a beautiful place in Norway, because I'm a lover of nature, and nature is very supportive when you want to become natural also, when you have nature around. That is already 21 years ago, and it's going very good. And then, how long since we got this in Brazil?
15 years.
In Brazil, it has already been 15 years also. Yeah. So it's been between the two, but I must say I'm more in Brazil, because Brazil is half America, half India. So I like it here, and the climate. And so it is between that, but I have people around me that function, and I think anybody who wakes up to his love or universal presence or peace, people get attracted. So for many years I wanted just to hide, in a way. I didn't want to get involved, but then it happened that I start talking about it, and then people start coming, and they smell something, no? Something tastes good, no? So what to do? Then you surrender, even though it's quite a headache sometimes. But
yeah, I can imagine. It's not easy to run a place, especially nowadays. You know, there are challenges, you know, financial challenges and all the practical administrative.
No, I tell you, there is no challenges. There is no problem, because I'm out of it all. I totally trust people that they take care. And if it works, it works. I have people financially in the video and the music and the groups. I've been training everybody to lead programs which I all have gone through, meditations. Everything is taken care of. So the lazy guy can just be there for what he is. It's like a center. It's like an oven. It's like a fire in the middle. And then things are happening. So this has been a process by itself. I haven't done, that's why I say I haven't done anything. It's been an organic happening. And it's, for me, it's totally effortless. I have no idea how they do it, what they do. I totally trust them. I just do my thing, which is having satsang, having retreat, having sharings, taking them on different far out excursion, if it's to Himalaya or Thailand or wherever, you know, like this also.
Can you tell me more about the activities and what you do? I didn't know any of this. So you do silent retreats, and also you travel and you take people to some special places.
Yeah, we have I like to have like do 3 weeks retreat, and the first, because it's always, even though you always want people who are more integrated, it's always new people coming. Yeah. So the first week, normally I have to clean up a bit. Like Osho said, you have to go through a kind of therapeutic thing, dynamic therapy, to be able to go into meditation, because the mind, people's mind is so busy, no? So this is a little taste of the washing machine to clean out a bit. Then I have a few weeks of silence, not to take people deeper. But when I've been in Brazil now the whole last 6-8 months, and we have satsang every week. And luckily, Brazil is one of those places that is very unruly, no? So we could have, I just finished a long retreat, and everybody, we had 250 people there. So, I mean, everybody has to have this face mask, but nobody got corona, you know, because we are... The area where we are, is it could be anywhere. It's beautiful. It's not many people. It's nature. It's ocean. It's the same in Dharma Mountain in Norway. It's just in the middle of the mountain in Norway. You know, it's very pure, very clean. So we have like separate communes, you can say, which is not a commune, because people, I want people to take care of themselves. No. It's not like an ashram. It is an ashram, but it's an open ashram, you can say. So when I'm not in Norway, we rent it out also for many other groups, the same in retreat in Brazil. We have kids camps, you know, from the schools we rent it out. So the finances can run, because I don't want it on my shoulder. So people have to be creative and also do groups themselves and things like this. In fact, I just want to be more and more in silence, you know, but there's always new people coming who you can ignite, you know, so that's how it is. But it's amazing places. I don't know any other place that is, it's really Osho's visions, I feel. It's what he wanted to happen, and it is happening. It is happening.
And of course, there is a possibility to do Osho meditations, dynamic kundalini.
Yeah, this is happening on a daily basis, no? Maybe not dynamic all the time, because it's also open for guests, but kundalini, yoga, tai chi, nada brahma, you know, whatever, things like this, no? It is a paradise. I am in paradise. What can I say?
Wow. So inspiring. So beautiful. I can't wait to... I love Norway. I think yes. Scotland and Norway are my favorite places in Europe for the nature.
Yes.
Definitely, as soon as it's possible to travel again, I'd love to visit.
Yeah, but the plan is that we have a retreat in July this year. But it depends how the European thing with the travel and all that. That's why I just been in Brazil, because here's much more open, no? Yeah. And in fact, nothing have changed in my life, because the way I live and in nature, it doesn't change anything. You know, I'm not part of the society, even though I am in the society. And that's how it is for most of the people. And here in Brazil, it's hundreds of people, sannyasin, who have moved to this area, to these little villages by the coast, since I came, you know. Like, I cannot get rid of them anymore.
Okay, Razan, look, it's so amazing connecting with you. We are kind of heading towards the end of this conversation. I have three questions.
Yes.
Before that, is there anything I didn't ask that you want to add?
No, first, when I heard about you, it's nice to meet you, by the way, and I feel that you have to come, that you will come. So that is not the thing. But then I was wondering, why is this guy interviewing all these old sannyasins? I was thinking, like, for what? And then I heard some, you know, Buddha and Veena and like this. And then I could feel you, what you were up to, what you were trying to create there. And it was beautiful, so beautiful to feel these people, like Veena, like Buddha, like the little Siddhartha, who is not small anymore. I remember when he was our little mascot when we were samurais, and I had this big motorbike Bullet in India, and he always wanted to come with when he had any chance. So I put him on the gas tank in front of me. And he was just like me when I was little. Like, he was so frustrated because his legs didn't reach down so he could start doing the clutch, you know, and the brake. And I said, just wait, soon you will be big enough, you know. And I was very, very happy to hear his podcast, because everything went good, I felt. So it's very beautiful, because so many people, Anigyan, so many people you have this heart connection with, Jalada, Kavishu, so many I heard, Rakesh, you know, it doesn't matter if it's 30 years, because you have connected in that love of the master, and that love just goes beyond time and space.
Wow. Well, thank you for that. And as you say, like, I don't know, this is definitely beyond me. I actually had no real plan exactly, didn't know what I wanted to do, but I felt like doing it, and it's happening, and I'm loving it, I have to say.
Yes.
And yes, you got me 100%. So I can now definitely I want to come, but that's another story, and it goes beyond the podcast.
Yes.
So, let's manage. Let me let's try to finish this interview. I have three questions, final questions. The first one is, what is, in your view, Osho's greatest contribution to the world?
Well, when you ask this, it's like I have to think, but for me, it's just silence. It's just presence. It's just overflowing love. It's just beingness. And I guess for a master like Osho, who is master of the universe, he's such a king of masters, he ignited so many people. It's just we cannot even imagine, you know, it's too vast. For me, I just, it's no words. It's on all levels, you know, like you see. You can ask people, you can ask sannyasin, you can ask other people. Wherever people are, it is something for anybody to get touched, to grow, to expand. Hmm? And ultimately, hopefully disappear.
Okay, thank you. The second last question is, what is the most beautiful gift you personally received from Osho?
Myself, no, the true self, my own heart, my own soul. And not talking about so many physically gifts also that he talked, but yeah, the master awakens your heart, no, And the heart, if it's blossoming, it can take you beyond the any opposites, not to the beyond. And that is hallelujah, you know. How can you talk about it? You know, it's like that. I'm lost with words, you know, I'm lost with words.
So the last question is, you leave the Osho experiment. Of course, you were with Osho physically. What does it mean to you to be with Osho today?
There is no separation there, because the Osho is not limited to the name and form. The master is a passage to the existence, you know. And if he touches you, if you surrender, if you disappear into that, you become that. You know, there is no separation anymore, you know. It's just gratitude, it's just tears, it's just laughter, it's just silence. It's like that. I've forgotten the question, you know. It's like, I don't know what you're talking about anymore.
And I forgot the answer.
Yes, it's like that. So all this, I'm functioning now, you know, so, but I had to go in the past not to tell stories, but this is what it is, and this is what the master wants. That's what any master wants. It's now. And that's why it's so precious to have a master that is alive, because then you get ignited of this now, this presence, which takes you, like they say in the Tibetans, they say the ultimate yoga is the guru yoga, to fall in tune with the guru, you know. You get ignited there. Then you can take leaps that is not possible, you know, because you get ignited. It's that love, it's that intimacy, it's that transmission. Only those who have tasted that can say that, you know. It's beyond language, it's beyond anything, but it is there, it's alive, and it's always there.
Well, Vasant, look, thank you so much. You know, it's been an amazing experience for me personally to connect with you, even just through video, but I really felt something inside very deeply. And also thank you for taking the time to open your heart and sharing your love for Osho and putting on record some of these very beautiful testimonies that on one hand is a historical testimony, but as you picked and as you said, it goes much wider than that. It's more of a heart connection between us, the two people talking, but it's more about the heart connection with Osho, with existence, with love, and there is this energy flowing, and hopefully people who listen, they will pick it up and get inspired to meditate and become a conscious human being. So,
well,
thank you.
Well, there is no separation with that, no, because that is the master's message, is that love that goes beyond any name and form. It is just there, no, but how to find that? So that is the greatness of the master, that he is there. Messenger of that love, of God, of that divine space, no? And maybe this had to happen also because I had to ignite you, no? And I just want to say one thing. I want to send a big hug and a kiss to Priya. And I've been with her, and Neelam just left the body, and just much love.
Okay, so on these notes of love, we can end this beautiful interview and connection and chat. So again, thank you so much, Vasant. Lots of love.
Thank you. Jai Bhagwan, Jai Osho.
Jai Osho.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit loveosho.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us.